kisses. Born from the need to feel connected, to voices strong and uncollected. From island shores to distant lands, we reach across with open hands. Pacifica wire, connecting our voices, lifting every voice higher, on air and online. We're tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire. Pacifica wire, from the heart of the industry to your home and family, with new tech and legacy, we share our destiny. We laugh and we learn, we cry and we cheer. Though miles apart, we're always near. But the same show, the same time, a rhythm, a style, Pacifica wire, lifting every voice higher. Stories told side by side, on air and .com.
When I need it the most, so I'm gonna keep on singing till my soul catches up with my song. And there's times when my hands go up freely, the times that it calls. And there's days when a praise comes out easy, days when it of my pride, 'cause faith is improving like gold till it's been through the fire. Oh, my head, heart, and hands are feeling heavy. That's when I lift them just a little higher. I'll bring my heart there, been through hell. Hallelujah.
That is Planet FM 104.6 on a Saturday afternoon. Inspiring music there from Brandon Lake, Jelly Roll, Hard Fought Hallelujah indeed. And we do hope you are enjoying your Saturday wherever you are out and about. And I saw a few cars with the Samoa and Tonga flags. I'm assuming there's a game on somewhere that's happening. So go Samoa, go Tonga. I digress. But we do hope you are enjoying your long weekend. It is Labour weekend. And very inspiring music, like I said. And it's sort of suits the very inspiring guest that we have in the studio with us this afternoon. Now, I turn my head to the camera. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm fangirling right now because this guest that we have in the studio is someone who is inspirational. She lets her words speak for themselves. We're all about PW Live connecting our voices. She does this every day. She's been doing it for a very, very long time, and we just feel so humbled and blessed because she's come into the studio to be with us here. Now, I've actually taken notes because I didn't want to, you know, get this wrong. Now, 2010, she was the Qantas Junior Reporter of the Year. She has also received awards through AUT Journalism Excellence in Diversity Journalism, Best Opinion Piece 2023 for the Voyager Media Awards. She has been nominated and won countless awards. I can't name them all right now because we'll be here all day. So those are just a few. And she has also been an inspiration to the next generation of Pasifika and journalists coming through not only here in Aotearoa New Zealand, but also in the Pacific region and the globe. Who am I talking about? Excuse me while I, you know, say this, and please, I will try my best to get my pronunciation correct. She is the Pasifika editor for the New Zealand Herald. You know who I'm talking about. Timuiai Paipaitele, Leala Iauloto, by Moana Masse. She's in the studio. Yay, by Moana!
Thank you so much for
listening, Gary. It is such a privilege for us to have you here in the studio. Happy long weekend. I hope you had a break.
Yeah, it's just starting a happy, what do we say? Happy Labor Day.
Wow, yeah. Are we the ones that wear white? No, or is that American thing?
I think that's America.
Okay, so I've gone way off base here. It's, yeah, like I said, fangirling here. So good to see you. And, you know, just listening to those words about empowerment, influencing. I know, I think the last time we caught up was at the graduation, I think, of the Te Rito cadets, the journalism cadets, and you were one of the speakers, and I remember seeing them, the cadets, just looking at you going, one day I want to be like her. And we were all sitting there going, yeah, so do we. So, you know, and I just remember thinking, you've stood the test of time. You've seen media and the changes that have happened. But before all that, if we can wind it back to the time when you thought, this is a career I want to get into, this is what I want to do, can you talk to us about that?
Yeah. Well, firstly, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much, Gladys, for having us. Sorry, for having me. I don't have any pronouns. for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. And, I mean, You're saying all that stuff to me, but I have to give you props too, sis. So, you know, obviously you've been in the game for a long time too, and there's a few of us, eh? And I know that even though we work in different newsrooms, but I feel like we're still family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and yeah, even though John Poodle tries to ask me for my contact numbers.
sorry, John.
scene. but yeah, thank you so much. I just want to take this opportunity to say talofa lava. Yeah, fatalofa to le paien mamalo le le atunu o lo fafonga mai le nei ala leo I le nei tu la le afiafi. And kia ora koutou and whakalofa hi atu. It's so nice to be here. Yeah, this is New Year.
Vanga whole New Year week. Celebrations, eh?
Is
you're
this
right. I think it finishes today.
Yeah.
So you're onto it.
Sure, someone time. yeah. Well, I was trying to figure this out on the way here.
Yeah.
I've been a journalist since 2007.
That's
yeah. So I'm 25 now. Nah, jokes. Nah. So I'm 30. Wait, how old am I? 39. I'm 39 now. So I've been a journalist for about 17 years.
It's a long time.
It's crazy.
And you still love it?
Yeah, it's all right. Sigh. I say 2007, but I started at the Herald in 2008. But I say 2007 because in my last year of uni, as journalism majors, we were writing for the local paper.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was submitting articles to the Western Leader. And I also had a part-time job as a young reporter at the Specific magazine, under Innes Logan.
Yeah.
Another massive shout-out to Innes, of course, another OG in the Pacific New Zealand media space.
Totally.
So that's where I started. I started at Specific and I started at the Western Leader. Yeah, Western Leader. I hadn't graduated, so 2008, I was like still working part time, and Dr. David Roby, he was one of my lecturers at AUT. He sent me an email, like he forwarded me like a advertisement for a vacancy at the Herald. I know, so it starts with him.
Starts with David.
Yeah, and he sent me. I think it was like early 2008. I hadn't even gone to graduate. We didn't graduate till, like, ceremony wasn't till March. So he sent that to me, and I still remember, like, thinking, hey, why, I'm not even going to apply. I'm still a student. I haven't even got my piece of paper.
Right.
And so I just didn't look at his email after that. But then a week later, he emailed me again. He emailed me again to say, oh, how did it go? You know, and so I could email David back and say, like, you know, oh, yeah, I emailed them. I emailed the Herald saying, oh, I'm interested in this vacancy. It was for the South Auckland Reporter at the time.
Right.
Yeah. And then I emailed David back and said, oh, man, I still haven't heard back from them. So, that was a bit of a lie. And then maybe like an hour later, I got an email from the Herald.
Jeez.
Yeah, so basically saying, if you want, we've got an opportunity for an interview tomorrow, the next day.
Gosh.
And, I went for the interview the next day. It was two Balangi men. I still remember them. And I still remember saying, like, because this was my first massive, obviously, you know, I was just going to say something in Samoan. Ika Ulula, New Zealand Herald. Like, yeah, you say New Zealand Herald, it's like far out.
Yeah.
It's pretty top dog.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, so I said, oh, God, please give me the words to help me in this interview. Yeah. And when I went to the interview, the one of the first questions they asked me for some reason was, what's the first part in the paper that you look at? And I was telling the truth. I said obituaries. That's what I did at the time. And they laughed. Like, they thought I was telling a joke. And I was like, oh, jokes. They become joking. And then I was like, oh, the news section, of course. You know, the front section. Yeah. So, and the other question they asked me was, how much did I expect to get paid? And, of course, I didn't know anything. I was still, like, 21, I think. 22, yeah. And I remember saying, I just want to be paid fairly. Yeah. And I think we just went off tangent, but... Those are the best kinds. That's how it started. But if you ask me how I first thought about journalism was I was 14 and I was at a... I was in a production for church youth group at Te Aratue Whakasa. And we did a production. It's kind of based off the Willy Wonka story. what's the name of the...
Is it Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or something?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of... What is it, Roald Dahl? No, it's not. I can't remember who wrote the book.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl, eh? Yes, yeah. You're right.
Anyway, I was made a reporter for the... You know,
wow.
And the next ticket has, the golden ticket has been found in Germany, or, you know, and I was one of the reporters. And after that production, a lady came up to me and said, Moana, have you ever thought about journalism as a career? And I hadn't at that stage, but that was the spark. She was the spark. Yeah, she asked me. And, yeah, later on that year, September 11th happened, and I was glued to the TV.
Yeah.
Every newspaper article I found, I read it, I listened to the radio, and you guys will remember, like, it's devastating. Yeah, I still remember the vivid images and stuff.
Surreal.
And yeah, obviously there were stories of heartbreak, heartbreak and hatred.
Mm.
But there were also stories of hope and stories of, yeah, humanity. And I realized at the time that I was watching history happening, and I really wanted to be a part of that history. And yeah, that's how, I don't know, that's how things played out in my mind. And I thought, yeah, I want to tell people's stories one day and be a part of the history.
And you've continued. And I remember I was at AUT Journalism School and working for Dr. David Rovey.
Yeah.
And you were one of the panelists with alongside Mata Afa Kenilisa, Samoa Observer, Cook Island News. I think Dr. Stephen Setu. I've just given you big ups, Dr. Stephen Setu. Rautuva, Dr. Stephen Rautuva.
I don't think Stephen was born.
I've just shown my age. And I remember the questions posed to you guys was, what did the future of media look like? And I remember succinctly you saying that because you were in mainstream, we needed to see more. Mm. Needed to see more of us in mainstream telling our stories. And you were encouraging. Even then, you were like, come on, everyone, give it a go. And I'm just sitting here listening to you thinking, you actually made that leap straight into mainstream. You didn't have any fear about it. You were just like, no, I can do it.
Yeah. I never thought about that, to be honest.
Nice.
Okay, well, yeah, you're right. But I guess it was because I didn't really have an understanding, too, of work life. I mean, I just had, yeah, I was working part-time at Specific Magazine. And then you're right, like, it was just straight into the deep end. I remember, I think it was my first day, or at least the first week, I remember someone coming up to me. I was in the kitchen, and someone came up to me, oh, you must be the Pacific Island girl.
Oui.
And I was like, yeah, yep, that's right. Yeah, I'm going to own that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, he wasn't being like, I think as the words came out, yeah, he thought later, oh my gosh, what did I just do?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought that was hilarious at the time. yeah, because I grew up out west, so it's not exactly, you know, exclusively Pacific, or, yeah, I have a lot of Balangi friends and Indian friends and, yeah, multicultural, yeah. So it wasn't like I was just freaking out because I'm the only brown person in the room, which I was. Yeah.
And you were for a long time.
Yeah.
Is that correct to say at the NZ Herald? You were sort of like a lone wolf. And I remember just getting a buzz when I'd, you know, open the paper and I'd see you, your byline and your story. Tapu Misa was doing the opinion piece.
I was just going to say, yeah, Tapu Misa was obviously way there before me, yeah.
And just thinking, wow, that's NZ Herald, like you were saying. For you, putting words to paper, I'm not a writer at all. How do you do it?
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Gary will tell you. I'm not a writer. I read your pieces and I think, how do you get those words working? Is it just something that, do you have a process?
Yeah. My dad used to say this saying, and it was, which means like everybody has different talents. Like you have your own talent. And I don't know, I guess I mean, I'm trying to say this humbly, but I guess, yeah, that's just happens to be my talent.
Absolutely.
My talent is, obviously other people's talent is like to be in all black or music or, anything else. And I don't know, God's blessed me with this talent for words or with words. But I've always liked writing. I've always liked the written word, like writing and reading.
Right.
I've never been a... Because so many people over the years say, oh, when are you going to move into TV? Like, I meant to start it. I was like, but I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But my aunties and uncles, they'll say, yeah, but TV is the top, isn't it? And I was like, oh, but nah. Again, people have different talents. Like, I don't think I'm a TV person or... Yeah, but... As a kid, my parents, they're from Samoa, obviously, and they would tell me a lot of whangongo, which is like the equivalent of stories, like bedtime stories.
Nice.
Yeah, my dad didn't know Snow White or anything, so when I would ask, at bedtime for a story, the stories would be about their childhood. My dad would make up lies saying he walked like 2,000 miles to get to one side of Upolu to the other side. But I loved hearing those stories about back home, and he'd tell me about the stories about their father and their parents and his siblings and even my mum. Those were my stories growing up as whangongo from my parents. And over the years, I loved to read. I'm an only child, which is really rare, but as a Pacific person. But my parents used to give me a lot of books.
Nice.
I can't remember what they're called. Golden, that from the secondhand store. Golden books. Is that what they, yeah?
Golden books.
Yeah, and my mum would get those, and I would read a lot. I love to read.
Yeah.
And and then I found Harry Potter. Man. Props to Harry Potter. Yeah. I loved Harry Potter. I've read those books maybe four or five times, like the whole series. But reading those books as a teenager and as a kid, because those books came out when I was about 12, 13, made my creative writing, like later in life, good. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to say it, but it helped it.
Yeah.
And that's how I guess writing became something that I was passionate about and loved. Yeah, but I'm not the only journalist in the family. My mom's family has journalists.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think, should I name drop them or
name drop?
Oh, maybe just one. My cousin on my mom's side. His name is, you might know him, Tupoloa Evan Charlton.
Come on now. He is like world famous.
He's one of...
Tangata Pasifika original.
Yeah.
Yeah, TVNZ News.
Yeah.
Yeah, grew up watching him.
Yeah, he's the one with the Tupoloa Evan Charlton.
Yes.
One news. so our mothers are sisters, and he's still in the journalism space, I guess. I hope I have this right. He's a world editor or evening editor at SBS in Australia.
Oh, awesome.
And one of my mum's brothers was a journalist back in the day as well. Okesene, Lale Oloto Okesene. But one day I said this to my dad. I said, I must get this from this side of the family.
Yeah.
Dad. And my dad shut me down and said, no, you get that from me. Yeah. Yeah.
So big ups to dad.
Yeah. If you knew my dad, he was he was a taxi driver, but he was also a talented pianist. And he composed music and wrote songs and, loved to write, like, poetry as well and stories. He's and a joke, like, jokes. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess he's right. Yeah, my talent comes from him / the Lord, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And the stories that you've continued to tell, and I remember your piece on the tsunami in Samoa, and the anniversary was not long ago, and I remember you had the opportunity to actually go back to Samoa and report on that. How was that for you in terms of, you know, going into the deep end? Was that, like, with everything that you, you know, with everything that you had learned at school and everything, were you prepared for that?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. Was I prepared for that? I don't think so. I don't think anyone was prepared. Is that me? Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I don't think anyone was prepared for that. Like, when, like, as journalists, as media, but also anyone else who was going there from here. Like, I still remember the... I had just turned 23, and I had been using... Oh, not using. I had been, like, working on a tribute on the Princess Ashika victims.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, but that happened. That tragedy happened, like, a month before
that's
the Samoan tsunami.
Goodness, that's scary.
Yeah, obviously, when the Samoan tsunami happened, that kind of, like overpowered, pushed aside the Ashika tragedy. Mm-hmm. But I had been working on an Ashika tragedy, like, tribute. People, like, we did end up releasing that feature, but later on. Yeah. But, what's it called? When that happened, our own family were involved in that. We had people, nephews and nieces who had passed because of the tsunami. And, well, what happened is they sent two reporters at first, plus a photographer. This is the Herald, because I was at the Herald, of course.
Yeah.
I'd only been there a year, and so very much still a junior reporter. But I found out later, I think it would be 2 days, and then I got the call up to go. And I remember our editor at the time, Tim Murphy, was overseas. And I heard later on, and I don't know, Tim might, I don't know if this is wrong, but this is what I heard through the grapevine, was that Tim had called and said, oh my gosh, why isn't Wana in Samoa already? Like, you've got a journalist who A, is Samoan, B, can speak Samoan fluently, and C, is obviously, you have that special connection with the locals.
It's a no-brainer.
It's family, yeah. And so, yeah, by Saturday, I was on the plane to Samoa, the worst plane ride I've ever been on. Like, Makai, like, from Auckland, the wailing, like, as we got off.
Gosh.
Yeah, I've never been in a plane ride like that ever again. And, it was bloody heartbreaking. And, when I arrived, the taxi took me straight to Mototua Hospital. And, injured people were, like, lined up outside, like, there were no beds, of course, like, too many of them. So family members were all lined outside in the corridors, looking after their respective loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking past this part of the hospital, and it wasn't until I'd walked past I realized, because I didn't know what the smell was. And, yeah, it wasn't until I'd gone past the... Yeah, I understood that that was a makeshift morgue. Oh, man, you gotta grow up pretty fast. Yeah, you gotta grow up pretty fast as a journalist on the ground, but also as a... Just as a kid, like as a, I was still 20. Yeah, I just turned 23. I was a young 23.
Yeah.
Like, such a, sheltered childhood. So hadn't seen anything like it, of course. And, I can still vividly remember Lalomanu, what it looked like. And there were still, plumes of smoke, amongst all the rubble as people were, still lighting up fires and trying to burn rubbish and stuff.
Mm.
And I distinctly remember, I should have brought it, because I have photos of that, I have an album. And there's, someone burning rubbish on this side. And, like, honestly, it's like this entire ground is rubble. Like, I've never seen anything like it. But there was this woman. She was washing. She was doing washing.
Oh,
like,
fine.
Yeah, she's just doing washing, and her little one is just running around. And I've got a photo of that. But it's like this, you know, stark reality. Like, you've got this one reality over here, but you still got to do the washing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Yeah. But to this day, I haven't been to Lalamanu. Like, every time we go to Samoa over the years, I can't go. I can't go to Lalamanu just because, I don't know, people are different. But, yeah, it wasn't easy for me to... those memories and seeing what we saw and the smell, even vividly remember.
Gary and I were fortunate, and we went to Samoa. We went to the memorial, and just even being there was, I don't like to think of it, not because of the memorial, but just you look out into that sea that people think beautiful paradise, but what that did. So I can only imagine for you. And so telling those stories on the deepest, you know, like you said at the beginning, tragedy to hope to excellence and celebration. And you've seen a lot of that. The release of the worldwide smash Moana. You were there at the premiere, right? Was that Hawaii?
It was a press conference.
Conference.
It was a press conference. And
what was that like?
I wasn't expecting this. That's all good. I'm laughing because I remember the chief reporter at the time. So my desk was over here and her desk was over here. And she sent an email. So she literally could have come over and asked me. But I think she didn't want the other reporters to know.
Right.
And she emailed me. She's like, "Hey, do you have a passport?" And I was like, "Yes." And she goes, "Do you want to go to Hawaii?" And I was like, "Oh, my gosh, yes." And she goes, "It's for the Moana." Yeah, Disney. Apparently Disney found out that there was a reporter at the Herald called Moana and offered a,
Nice.
I was like, yes.
Love it.
That was really cool. First time to Hawaii. I don't know how people travel. Like, that's probably the farthest I've ever traveled. And I don't know how people do it.
I know.
Yeah. But it was really cool. We got to meet Auli'i Cravalho, the girl behind.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. I see that she's still doing well in the acting scene.
Yeah.
My brother, my uncle, The Rock, was not there.
Oh, yes, I was going to say.
Man, if he was there, I would have retired.
Yeah. Where was uncle?
Oh, yeah, I know. I was like, come on, the one time you could have come to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was awesome. It was actually funny when, because in the presser, you're meant to stand up if you ask a question. You have to introduce yourself and say where you're from. And I couldn't even ask my question after I said, "Hi, I'm Moana." they were like,
clap.
All the Americans thought it was hilarious.
And you're like, "No, that's my name." What are you doing?
And it got to the point where I had to take photos of Auli'i. I was like, "Okay, I'm not the real Moana."
Yes, you are. Why not? That's awesome.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
So with all that, like, the breadth and the range of stories that you've done, how do you, first off, like, there's the preparation, but how do you sort of, like, come down from all that? How do you take some time out just to digest everything that you've had to, you know, not only to see, but report and then write and then publish the whole process?
Yeah. There was... In my early years, I don't know if you found this, but it was really hard to disconnect. Like, I guess it's harder now when your phone is, like, attached to your body.
Yeah.
And even in those early years, while mentally, it was really hard for me to disconnect. Like, if I'd had a bad day at work, I would basically take that home and just, like, feel stink for the rest of the night or whatever. But something a reporter said to me, a police reporter said to me at the time, was she said to me, you know that door? As soon as I leave that door, like, that's gone. My work stops at that door. Like, after that, I go home to my family, to my kids, to my husband, and just be with my family, because okay. this is not all of me, you know? Like, don't put all of yourself at work. And I remember that. I try to keep that in mind, because she's right. Like, you know, if you take your bad day or whatever home, and then everyone else gets angry and everyone else gets upset. And I've had to learn that over the years, to just, try to move on and try to understand that this is not, work is work and family is family. And, you just got to look after yourself as well. But a lot of the time, my thought process when it comes to words are, I've said this prayer ever since that first interview. I always say that prayer, God, please give me the words. Especially when I'm on, like, the boss is like, are you almost there? It's deadline. It's like half an hour left and it's still on the intro. It's like, got you, almost there. I'm like, God, please give me the words. And that's so true when people say that. I don't know if it's a... Yeah, I think it is a saying in journalism. They say, they encourage that you write what you know. That's so true, man.
Yeah,
write what you know. And when it comes to, I don't know, myself or Pacific or Samoan or being my family, then, the words just come. It's, it flows. Yeah, it's easy. Write what you know.
And I remember, I think it was, we were coming to the end of the course, and we had to stay at the marae out in West Auckland overnight.
Hoana Waititi.
That's the one, Hoana Waititi. And I remember they said to us, they wanted us all to go around the room and we had to share. And I must admit, people were sharing some really intimate, some really deep. And I felt quite stunned, because I said, I'm actually really boring. I don't actually have a lot to share. But what?
Gary's like, thanks.
Gary's like, she's boring. And I remember one of the tutors, I think it was Helen Sissons, had said, the exercise was about if we're asking people to tell us their intimate stories, we need to be prepared to be able to share as well.
Yeah.
And I always thought, gee, that's deep. And are you finding with this new generation of journalists that are coming through, reporters, Pacifica and what, how different is it now? Those foundations that were laid at the beginning, do you think they're coming to fruition, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Maybe. Honestly, you're right. If I always try to think of myself as the, like, interviewee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or somebody, if I go do a door knock. And I freak out when people say yes. Like, sometimes I'm like, holy, I would have said no. I always think, far out, I wouldn't talk to a journalist but people are different, people are different cultures and different grief processes as well. But when it comes to this generation, specifically Pacific, I'm so excited for these kids, because they've obviously, they're better than us, and that's the hope, is like, don't be like me, be better than me. I'm pretty sure David Tour said that once. And, like, they understand technology. They've got, like, like, you know, they grew up. They're this generation. And, they're so akamai when it comes to technology and all this stuff here, AI. It's not the AI generation.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, they've got all these other tools and new ideas and concepts that they've grown up with that we didn't.
Yeah.
And, social media as well. They've got they're that generation. They grew up with TikTok, and they understand the ins and outs of like, you've got this phone. This is your tool. Take photos and videos and
record.
Anyone can be a journalist. I keep hearing that, but
Do you think that's true? I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's my bias.
Yeah, me too. I know. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
People like you and others make it look easy, but it's not. The amount of preparation that you have to put into it to make it look easy.
Yeah.
People, I mean you.
Yeah. But I'm starting to see, like, more Pacific kids. I say kids, but, students.
Yeah.
Coming through, I hear that they're doing, like, there's more interest in communications at AUT and media at Auckland Uni.
Nice.
And that's so exciting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess they're coming in with fresh eyes as well and fresh mindsets about how media... But they're also coming in into a changing world of multimedia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know, I'm just excited because, yeah, being, like... Being in New Zealand, it makes sense. It makes sense to have, like, brown people in the newsroom as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah, back in the day, sorry, I just paused because like, I still remember the time someone came and asked me to translate something in Tongan.
Of course.
Like, oh, hold on. Yeah, but, it's just it's a two-way street in some ways, yeah.
As editor, the Pasifika editor of Talanoa, that's an exciting part of New Zealand Herald. It must be, to see how far the Herald has come with that establishment. What's that been like for you?
Oh, I think it's so cool because we also have Kahu, which is a landing page on the Herald website, which is... like dedicated to Māori stories as well. And so Talanoa is dedicated to obviously Pasifika stories or issues and articles or stories that impact or affect the Pacific communities, not just here in New Zealand, but around the world. Or I'm trying to do more profiles as well, like of cool, like people doing cool stuff in other parts of the world, you know, our people, Pacific people. Yeah. And I think it's crazy. It's crazy. I think it's crazy how far we've come. And I mean, when I started, obviously, people were still like...
You could count.
Yeah.
Or the range, hey?
Yeah. And
an access.
I think it's really, really cool that we now have a landing page, not just Pasifika, but Māori as well.
Yeah.
And just knowing that our stories, like someone can click onto Talanoa and know that that is a story that, I could read that because, like, it's about me or it's about someone I know or someone that I can connect with. You know, it's not just about the bad news, you know, the cliche, stereotypical news of, like, only highlighting our Pacific people when, you know, it's a bad type story. But, like, going into a story, I'm like, oh, this is about a girl that went to, you know, studying at, like, she got into NASA or something, you know, it's something positive, and I think that's so cool to highlight. Talanoa is, I just realized, the word Talanoa was inspired by my dad, because growing up, he would say to me, you know, if there's something on my mind, or he would figure it out, that, yeah, there's something weighing on my mind, he would say, Moana, whasoa mai, talanoa mai. You know, talanoa obviously means talk between each other and also, yeah, conversate. And it also has connotations of, you know, you're sitting around the table and you're talking with your peers, but also, like, you can see that with a cup of tea with all the aunties. And obviously, talanoa also has, like, means when, you know, it's not always happy or it's like bad news too, or stuff that needs to be brought to the table and addressed. Yeah, that's talanoa too.
Nice.
Yeah.
And for you, passing on that mantle to the next generation, the next journalists, what advice would you give to those who are thinking of coming into the industry, specifically as a print journalist?
As a Pacific person or as a...
As in general.
Um, There's so much that you could tell someone or advise someone.
For sure.
But one thing that I would encourage people to do is listen. Like, just the one word, listen. Not in the sense, like, listen to, you know, like, listen to my command or whatever. Mm. But listen to the people around you. Like, talk to people who have been there or be, you know, where, like, they're there where you want to be one day. Like, talk to them and listen to what they have to say, understand their advice and use it. Yeah, you hear it all the time with Samoan parents, falungo, falungo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you ask, well, this was me anyway, I used to ask my dad, Dad, can you teach me how to say, you know, the oratory stuff? And he would always say, hey, you can't write this down. You listen, falungo, falungo, you know, listen to what I'm saying. So, yeah, use that advice and go and be present and talk to our... I was going to say ko mātua. What's the Samoan word? mātua.
Like, mātua.
Yeah, talk to our elderly parents.
Mm.
Talk to your fellow students, your cousins, your brothers and sisters, your teammates. You know, that's where all the stories come from. Talk to children. Like even now, I've had so many good conversations with under 5-year-olds, like fives, you know. Like, understand that the world is not just this little, yeah, this is not just the world,
yeah.
This phone is not just your world.
Yeah.
Go talk to people and listen to what people have to say. You'll be surprised at what stories you find.
If you weren't in this industry, what do you think you'd be doing? What are some of your other hidden talents?
Someone asked me that once and I said Hogwarts professor.
Oh, I like it.
Nah,
the art of writing. The magic of writing.
Well, before I got into communications, I actually got an acceptance letter from Auckland Uni's law. So, yeah, I don't know. In another life, I could have been a lawyer, but the acceptance letter I was waiting for was AUT's communications. But yeah, if that didn't arrive, I probably would have become a lawyer. Yeah, but I know that one day, like, I don't think I'll stay in journalism forever, of course.
Yeah.
Nah.
You going to write a book?
Yeah, well, I was meant to do that. You know when you
nice.
Do these lists?
Yeah.
You know when you do these lists before you're 30? And now I'm over 30. So it's like, oh, still haven't achieved this part of the list. And yeah, I really want to write a book one day. And
nice.
I want to be an author one day. Like, I have this dream. I've had it for a long time now. I really want to write children's stories. Yeah, it's random, but I know people are like, oh, do kids read like civic stuff? I was like, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, far out, you have Leilani Wendt, author of the Telesar series, and like so many Pacific. I just think, yeah, I think it'd be cool too.
And the Mila books I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could win the 28 million Powerball tonight and just go cruise for them.
Hey, why not next minute? Have you heard from... She's in the Gallipolis somewhere. Unsend.
Yeah, but, yeah, only God knows. Yeah.
Only God knows. I was scrolling through, because I love to, you know, listen to music and that, and I saw this beautiful... song. It was a Samoan song, and you know, the video, and there you were in the audience as part of the music video. So you're also venturing into, you know, music as well, like you shared. No. Music is very much a part of your life and your family as well. I was also it was just, you know, so special to hear you talking about your faith and just how important that is to you as well. You carry it with you. Have you ever felt compromised in this job?
I'm trying to think of an example, but it's not coming to mind.
Right.
But I think so. Yeah, there would have been times, maybe maybe two or three times I felt compromised. But yeah, my faith is it keeps me going. Like this year has been such a, if you know me, then you know how hard this year has been. Like to the point where like next week is November, I think I'm going to put up the Christmas tree. Like 2025 has been that year. You just want to see the end of it.
I hear you.
But yeah, I think you were talking about Siona Bao Bao. Yeah, my dad wrote that song many years ago for my nana. And yeah, it talks about just our humble beginnings from their village in Tuamua in Upolu. And I miss my dad so much. He passed away earlier this year.
I'm sorry to hear.
I'm so grateful that I have a lifetime worth of memories and lessons from that man. And he keeps me going too. Yeah, he used to say to me, "Oh man, you know," he's saying someone, "Ango kusiao kusingao ango kusielo arako levanga uma," you know, like he'd say, "Oh man, if I came and wrote that, would have been finished ages ago." I was like, "Can you relax?" Yeah, but yeah, everybody has their things, but for me, faith helps me a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, people can log on to NZ Herald. Where can they find Talanoa?
Yeah, on the side, the drag down points, or obviously Google Talanoa, okay. New Zealand Herald.
Yep. And people, if they've got story ideas and that, they bombard your email, I can imagine.
Bombard my email, bombard Gladys's email.
No, I'm okay.
Oh, man, if you have a story, you know, because this is the thing with us as well. And it affects me too, like as a Samoan. Our normal is not their normal.
Yep.
So our normal stories, you know, White Sunday, things that are happening in our community, you know, like extraordinary things otherwise, eh? Like it's so normal to
Absolutely.
Us. But it's not normal to like New Zealand Herald traditional readers. Mm. Yeah. And feel free to pitch me your stories and it would be awesome to hear. Yeah.
And so that's available 24/7. People can log on and read your articles, your opinion pieces. I just want to quickly ask, how hard is it writing an opinion piece?
I think it's all right. Yeah, you asked me. I don't know. I just express what I feel, I guess, or what's going through my mind, or I guess being Pacific or being Samoan or, you know, West Auckland raised, you have a different mindset or opinion to something, and I think it's fine. I mean, I don't read the Facebook comments because when these go up. Yeah,
I think that's why I don't. That's one of the things I don't do opinion pieces, because I'll just cry if someone says, "You suck."
I know. I've learnt to, you got to have a hard hat sometimes in this job, and a sense of humility as well to be prepared for the phone being put down or the slam doors. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. You got to put your Samoan-ness aside sometimes. Put your karate skills aside.
Put that temper.
Yeah.
Move it along.
You just got to, just be like Jesus and walk away.
What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, all good things come to an end. And it's just been a pleasure to have this time to Talanoa with you and just a little bit of an insight. But tell us about this song by Oski, if you wouldn't mind. And we go out with your last words.
Yeah, Siona Bao Bao. Shout out to Oski as well for singing this song, our family song. And it's a song about humble beginnings, and I wouldn't be here without those humble beginnings. So, go Samoa.
Go Samoa. Vai moana. What a privilege it has been to Talanoa with you. We look forward to reading more. It's been an honour, and bless you and your family.
Yeah.
And all the best.
Yeah. Taylor.
Pacifica Wire, connecting our voices.
Pacificawire.com.